Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's probably one of the most extensive treatment on the resurrection in all of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I titled this morning's message, The Significance of the Resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now follow along with me as I read verses 12 through 19. First Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 12. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Pray with me. Father, thank you so much for this day that we get to set aside to celebrate your faithfulness to your promise that your Son who died for our sin would rise again on the third day. And we do ask, Lord, that as we draw our attention to this passage, we would see the significance of understanding and believing and being committed to the belief of the resurrection of our Lord. Oh, help us now to worship you as we give attention to your word. May we see the glory of your Son and the impact the resurrection has in all of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Jesus affirmed the resurrection of the dead. That is, that there is more to this life than what we see. These 80, 70, 90, 100 years that God will allow you to live, there is more after this life. And that is what is called the resurrection. Those who have put their faith in Christ would rise to eternal life in heaven with Christ. Those who have rejected Christ will rise to eternal condemnation in hell. The resurrection answers the question that we all ask, and that is, what happens when people die? Jesus affirms the resurrection. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament affirms that there is a resurrection. On one occasion, in Matthew 22, Jesus, again, encountering a battle with the religious leaders, they thought that maybe if we can ask a question about marriage, maybe that will trip him. Maybe we can ask him a question, is there marriage in heaven? How is that possible? These Sadducees, first of all, did not believe in the resurrection of the body. And so their goal was to ask this question with the intent of tripping Jesus up. Well, Jesus, in his argument, appeals to the Old Testament. And he appeals to a passage that you might never have considered that it teaches and preaches the resurrection from the dead. He appeals and he quotes from Exodus chapter 3, verse 6, where God revealed himself to Moses. And Jesus said to these religious leaders, he said, you don't believe in the resurrection. You don't know the power of God in the scriptures. What does it say? Jesus says, and he quotes Exodus 3, 6, God revealing himself to Moses, he says, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. These men were dead. These men were already dead by the time God revealed himself to Moses. Yet, they still have a living relationship with the living God. Jesus proved the resurrection by the tense of a verb. He did not say, I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, I am. Even now, Moses, before you. Right at that moment, he is teaching and proclaiming the resurrection of the dead. And here Jesus affirms that. As a matter of fact, Jesus says even in his own life, he came with the express purpose of going to the cross, paying our price of our sin that we deserved. God would punish him there. But then over and over and over again, he taught his disciples that he would rise again. Everything we believe as Christians hinge upon the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you take it away, if you reject it, if you dismiss it, if you deny it, it will have catastrophic results for all eternity. Imagine driving down the mountains. Favorite place, you're coming back home from your retreat. But as you're heading down the first curve, very steep hill, all of a sudden you put your foot at the brake and there's nothing there. You remove the brake system from your car while you're heading down the hill. Guess what's going to happen? Catastrophic results happen. And so too, if you remove the resurrection from Christ, you remove the resurrection from the gospel, catastrophic results happen. Eternal catastrophic results. And so Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, lays out these consequences of denying the resurrection. And verse 12 really sets the context. He comes to this section, and if you remember anything about 1 Corinthians, you would understand that when you come to the letter of 1 Corinthians, this was a church that had a lot of issues. And so Paul, by God's kindness, writes these letters to them to correct these issues that are going on. And one of them is this doctrinal issue of belief in the resurrection. Verse 12 sets the context for us. He says, now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, and that is, we have already been telling you this, we've already been preaching that Christ has been risen from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? There were some in the Corinthian church that even possibly were believers. We don't really know who this group really was, but they erred in their view of Christ in the gospel, and that was they denied that there was any resurrection at all. And so Paul lays out here in verses 13 to 19 seven catastrophic results if you deny the resurrection. You're thinking, wow, seven? Yes, and we're going to go through those very briefly. Because as he brings this up, he does this in such a way so as to show you the necessity of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everything hinges upon that. The foundation of Christianity hinges upon the resurrection of Christ. No other world religion claims that their leader has risen from the dead. They're all dead. Only Jesus Christ has defeated death, sin, and Satan once and for all. So there's seven catastrophic results in verses 13 to 19 that if you deny the resurrection, have eternal impact. The first is this: Jesus' resurrection is a lie. The first catastrophic result is that Jesus' resurrection is a lie. Notice again in verse 13, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, as you are claiming to believe, then not even Christ has been raised. And that is, Jesus' resurrection is a hoax. All that the Bible had said about Jesus' resurrection, all the details are fake. They're bogus. And you notice in verse 13 how it starts, but if. It throughout this passage from verses 13 to 19, it is a constant if. And in the original, this assumes the truth for the sake of argument. Let's just assume that what you're saying is true. If that's true, then this is going to happen. This is the result. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then let's assume the truth for the sake of argument. Then Jesus did not raise either. And Paul is making a connection here between a believer's resurrection and his resurrection. They're linked together. As a matter of fact, if you deny the resurrection, there is no hope for you at all. If believers do not rise from the dead, neither did Christ. Therefore, the resurrection of the Lord was a sham. It's some magic trick. It's some sleight of hand. It was really a lie. It was a hallucination. But it is not true. As a matter of fact, Paul, in verses 5 through 11, laid out for the Corinthians proofs. Proofs of the resurrection by pointing to all the various appearances that Jesus did when he rose from the dead. And these proofs were not just for one person, not just for a couple people. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, a person can hallucinate that they saw Christ. Okay, we'll just give you that. But over 500 people at different points in time, and that was his argument in verses 5 to 11. And so it is impossible to reject the resurrection of the Lord. As a matter of fact, the hardest to convince of the resurrection, and even Jacob read it, I hope you noticed it, in Luke, when the ladies came and told them, they thought, they were like, I'm not sure. The hardest people to convince of the resurrection was the disciples. And in Luke, we read in Luke 24, verses 39 to 43, we read that when Jesus appeared in the midst of them, he deliberately said, touch me. I have a physical body. I'm not just a figment of your imagination. I'm not just a spirit being. Touch me. Give me something to eat. And guess what he did? He ate, and it just didn't fall to the ground. But if you deny the resurrection, Jesus' resurrection ultimately is a lie. The second catastrophic result, if there is no resurrection, is the gospel preaching is useless. Notice in verse 14, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. If Jesus has not risen from the dead, what would be the point of preaching the gospel? Who wants to hear about a defeated God? One who is dead. He has died just like every human, but he is still dead. He still remains in the grave. Who wants to hear about that? Paul says that our preaching is in vain. When he's speaking here about the preaching, it's not just the communication, but it's specifically in dealing with the content of the preaching. The content behind what he said. All the things that he just pointed out in the first several verses, that Jesus Christ has indeed risen from the dead. All that Christ did on the cross culminated at the resurrection. Verse 3, he says, for I delivered to you as of first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Here again, he's affirming that. But if there is no resurrection, then there is no gospel. There is nothing worth being preached by anyone. And he says here, the gospel, the preaching is in vain. That is, it is devoid of any value. It is without truth. It is without power. It is without content, without substance, empty, meaningless. You remove the resurrection. You deny the resurrection. You eliminate the resurrection, and you have nothing. Sin, death, Satan, hell have not been defeated, have not been conquered. Therefore, you remain under its mastery. The second catastrophic result, if you deny the resurrection, is that the gospel preaching is useless. Number three, a Christian's faith is worthless. A Christian's faith is worthless. Notice again in verse 14, simple statement there. If Christ has not been risen, has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. If one believed that the resurrection did not happen, it makes gospel preaching not only meaningless and useless and worthless, it so too makes a Christian's faith in that gospel worthless. Your faith is in vain. That is the same word that he uses for preaching. It is worthless. It has no power. It has no effect. It is empty. Your faith is like grasping the wind. It is impossible. You can't do it. What you have believed about Jesus, that is your faith in Christ, your trust in the facts of Christ, what you have believed about him, what you have committed yourself concerning who Jesus is and what he has done, will have accomplished nothing in your life. One writer says this, all believers of all ages would have believed for nothing, lived for nothing, and died for nothing. And so a Christian's faith is worthless. It is worthless. The fourth catastrophic result, if there is no resurrection, all gospel preachers would be liars. All gospel preachers would be liars. And let me just set a little bit of distinction there. Not all who preach the gospel are true gospel preachers. There are fakes and there are liars. But here Paul is saying those who are committed to the gospel as found in the scriptures, even them, if there is no resurrection, would be liars. We have all been the recipients of being lied to in one form or another, right? Whether it was from your spouse, whether it is from your children, from family members, from friends, from coworkers. And to be on the receiving end of being lied to, it's like being stabbed in the back. It's like being deceived. It's like being betrayed. And if there is no resurrection, Paul is saying here, all who have preached the gospel have deceived you. Really, in one sense, you could even say further, they are taking advantage of you. He says there, we have misrepresenting God. That idea there is referring to someone who is giving a false witness, a false testimony to God himself. This word misrepresenting only occurs here and in Matthew 26:60, where here we stand in Jesus' trial and the religious leaders were bringing all these false witnesses to speak against Christ. That's what we would be like. And Paul says, he himself and all gospel preachers who preach about Jesus' resurrection, all of it is a sham. All of it is false. All of it is bogus. And they are liars because they've claimed that God says something when in fact it didn't even happen. He says there, we've testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact, as you have said, it is true that the dead are not raised. But not only that, not just Paul, not just all preachers, but you know who else is a liar? Jesus Christ. He doesn't state that here. But one of the things that you see in the Gospels is that Jesus over and over and over again preached and told his disciples that I am going to rise again on the third day. In Mark chapter 8, verse 31, after Peter's confession, which Brian will be preaching here in a little bit, it says this, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. At that point, at that confession, it was consistently instructing his disciples. As a matter of fact, if you read the account of Luke, when Jesus is walking with the disciples to Emmaus, he says, don't you remember? Don't you understand the scriptures? I've told you all this, that it was going to happen this way. But if Jesus did not rise from the dead, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then all gospel preachers would be liars, including Christ. Including Christ. Verse 16 basically repeats verse 13. If the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And here it is repeated for emphasis so that you can see and the believers can see the logical consequence of not believing and embracing the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fifth catastrophic result, if there is no resurrection, that Christians are still in their sins. Notice again in verse 17, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. He already talked to them and stated in verse 14 that your faith is in vain, it is meaningless, it is worthless. Here is another synonym that he gives for that. He says, it is futile. And so therefore, you are still in your sins. To be in your sins means to be in the realm of your sins. That is, you have never transferred from this realm to another realm. This is where you live. This is where you reside. You are still a sinner and you're still liable to God's judgment. Sin is your master. You are a slave to it. Again, another writer says this. If Christ was not raised, his death was in vain. Our faith in him is in vain, and our sins are still counted against us. We are still dead in trespasses and sins, and will forever remain spiritually dead and sinful. If Christ was not raised, then he did not bring forgiveness of sins or salvation or reconciliation or spiritual life either, for now or for eternity. But Paul says later on in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, he says, Jesus was delivered for our trespasses. That is, he was delivered because we broke God's law. And then it says, and raised for our justification. That is, he was raised so that he himself would be the only means by which one would be made right with God. My friends, Jesus is alive. And as such, he won the victory over sin. And he grants forgiveness because he himself paid the price for your sin with his blood. As a matter of fact, rising from the dead shows that all that he did was sufficient to save sinful sinners who turn from their sin and submit to their lives to Christ. Number 6, Christians who died are dead forever. Verse 18, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If there is no resurrection, all the saints, both Old Testament, who put their hope and faith in the promise of the coming of Messiah, all those who put their faith when Jesus arrived, all those who put their faith when the gospel message was preached during Paul's time, but also all throughout history as the gospel message went out, and they died. Those who are dead will remain dead forever, condemned in hell. When he talks about sleep, and this is amazing, he's talking to believers here, and he uses the term sleep because for a believer, that's what it's like. This is just a small life. James calls it a vapor. Gone. You see it and then it's gone. But if Christ did not raise, there's no hope of eternal life. There's no hope of forgiveness of sins. There's no hope of being with God. Instead, they would be lost without God and spend all eternity in conscience torment in hell. And finally, the seventh catastrophic result, if there's no resurrection, that is, the Christians are the most foolish people. Look at verse 19. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we of all people most to be pitied. If we as Christians have put our confidence and expectation in Christ in this life, and then there is no resurrection, we are to be the most pitied people. The idea here is that we are deserving of sympathy because of our pathetic condition, because of where we stand before this false thing that we believed. You would have sacrificed all for Christ. You would have endured suffering. That is the call of denying yourself, taking up your cross and following Him. You would have lived a holy life, a pure life for God. But yet, you would have done that for nothing. Lived with a false confidence in what is not real or true. MacArthur says this: the Christian life would be a mockery, a charade, a tragic joke. Later on, he would say, we would deserve nothing but compassion reserved for fools. If there is no resurrection, there was no promise of resurrection from the dead. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then it would lead to these catastrophic results. And Paul lays those out so that you can see the seriousness and the importance of the resurrection of Christ. But he doesn't leave us there. There is a resurrection. Jesus did rise from the dead. Notice what it says in verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. When he rose from the dead at that moment of time in history, and he continues to be alive even to the present, forever alive. One writer said the resurrection of Jesus is God's gift and proof that his death was completely successful in blotting out the sins of his people and removing the wrath of God. Because there is a resurrection, Jesus' resurrection is true. Because there is a resurrection, gospel preaching is necessary. It is not useless. Because there is a resurrection, a Christian's faith is not worthless, but it is the only faith that you have that God has granted to you. Because there is a resurrection, all gospel preachers want you over everything in all of life for you to repent and put your full confidence in Christ. Because there is a resurrection, Christians are not in their sins but are forgiven. Because there is a resurrection, Christians who have died are with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes even a funeral of a believer, though it's hard because we will miss them. We can say because of the fruit that we saw in their life and their love for the Lord Jesus Christ, not just in their facts of believing about Him, but their true love and commitment to Him and His people, you rejoice and you can say, wow, we can truly say they're in a better place. And because Christ has risen, Christians are not the most foolish people, but rather we are sinners saved by grace, transformed by the Word of God, and bearers of the greatest news ever. Jesus, my friends, is alive. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to preach and to remind ourselves that you indeed are alive. May we never compromise that. May we never reject it, but rather, may you use that in our lives so that we might have the greatest hope to proclaim the good news that Jesus is alive, that he came to defeat sin and death and Satan, and he did it. He is not a dead God. He is alive even now and will forever be. And we will all give an account to him. And I pray, Father, that you would use that in your word this morning to draw all to yourself. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.